Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Rabbi Dr. Bruce Tucker is the senior rabbi of Congregation Beth Judah in Ormond Beach, Florida. He really helped me out a lot when I was on bereavement with my dad passing, and he really helped us out so much. It was just a huge blessing to me and my family. And I love listening to Dr. Tucker speak. If anybody needs translation devices, we'll offer them in the back with that New England accent. But otherwise, he's Mishmacha. We all absolutely love him and Jilly. Let's welcome Dr. Bruce Tucker, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Let's open to Shemot Exodus, if you will, please. Oh, it's so good to be home. I enjoyed so much being with you last year. And I thought he would never call me again. I thought, oh, no. What did I do? But I was just so happy to get the invitation to come tonight. You know, we can always tell when Rabbi Kevin's excited. The music is so wonderful tonight. This is one of those nights. You know what I mean? This is like one of those nights. The music is just beautiful and wonderful, and we are all ready for God to speak to us in a very powerful way. And you know, the music was really going on, and I looked up at and saw Rabbi Kevin, and I said, you know, I remember the time when he would pull out that tambourine, and start going with it, with that tambourine. You could always tell, I think he's got a holster over here. He's got a tambourine holster. And when he gets, you know, he's into it, and he's loving what he's doing, and he's loving the Mishpacha, and he just pulls out that tambourine, starts going with it. And just few minutes later, he pulled out that tambourine. It's like the Lord is in this place tonight. So good to be home. This is a very special Shabbat that I want us to really lean into. Wow, all the new members. That is amazing. That is amazing. That's just what a wonderful blessing to be a part of this service tonight and to hear the introductions. You know, it just makes you chomp at the bits because such good stuff is happening here at Congregation Beth Hillel. And I said it, Congregation Beth Hillel. I didn't say Congregation Beth Judah. I said Congregation Beth Hillel. And it's like, well, welcome into this Mishpacha. The Lord has such life and depth and width and height for you. What an amazing, amazing experience. Our parsha this week is Vayechel, which means he assembled. It's also a dual parsha, as Mac mentioned earlier, that Pechodei, which means the accounting of something. We're in the fourth year of a Shabbat cycle. So in the first year, it's good. Sometimes we can symbolize it by in that first year, we plant seed. In the second year, we find the nourishing places. In the third year, we take root, where we know we're going to grow strong. And then in a fourth year of a Shabbat cycle, we sprout up. So there's something about the parsha this week that helps us do that. And so we're going to ask the question this week, how do your onward steps sprout up? Wow, what a day for talking about onward steps. Why is it so important to think about onward steps? The steps that help us move forward. I think the Lord put Shabbat at the end of the week just so that we would remember how much he has for us, because we can go through a week, or we can go through a month, or we can go through a year, and it's so easy to lose our motivation for wanting to take a step. When we lose our motivation, it's usually because we've lost our sense of meaning in life, our meaning about who we are or what we do or what we are doing and why am I doing what I'm doing. I don't have the meaning in my life that I really want to have. And if a lack of meaning, if losing our meaning is affecting the way we're having our motivation, then the real kicker is when the enemy starts speaking into our minds and he makes us think that we're losing our mastery over the things in life that we believe we ought to be able to master. You know, when we lose our motivation, when we lose our meaning, when we lose a sense of where we are in life, we start looking for the newest and latest things that need to happen in our lives. It's like, okay, I need some new direction. How do I get this new direction? Some years ago, my daughter picked up a Life magazine, which I show you tonight. How many of you know when magazines were this big? Newspapers aren't even this big anymore. And this is a Life magazine from May the 31st, 1948. May the 31st, 1948. And one of the reasons I bring it here is just to illustrate that sometimes what we think is the newest and the latest thing is going to be the answer to everything that we need. When we lose our motivation, when we lose meaning in life, when we lose our sense of mastery, then we're going to grasp at just about anything. And I don't know who this person is. She looks like every other actress that I ever saw from this time period. I think they all look the same. This is where Stepford Wives began. And the neat thing about this is that the things of humanity change. We change along the way. This Life magazine from May 31st, 1948 cost 20 cents. It was 20 cents. You could get a yearly subscription for $6. A yearly subscription of Life magazine for $6. And there's only one headline on the front page of this Life magazine. It says, in this issue, this is where I'd like to be like Rabbi Kevin. He just has a gift at getting our interest. In this issue, major medical discovery, blood sludge. Blood sludge. The discovery of blood sludge in 1948 was going to be the major medical discovery that changed everything about the way we live. They go into a little bit of a history of it, for sure, because they say, look, we haven't understood blood for very long. It was only in the 1600s, around 1662, that people thought, well, we knew about blood vessels and all those kinds of things, but back in 1662, they just believe that those things just made the blood slosh back and forth in your body. Folks, this was only a few hundred years ago. You know, the humanity has existed for a long, long time. But somehow we became scientific people and we thought it's worth paying 20 cents to read this article on blood sludge because this blood sludge is going to change everything in my life. And things keep going on and on and on. I don't even know what blood sludge is. I read it and I don't know what blood sludge is. What the Lord wants to teach us, maybe there's something better than the last greatest thing or the newest thing that the Lord has for us. And when he begins to speak to us this week, Israel is in the place where everything is ready to go to the next place in their lives. They've been set free from Egypt. They have been alone with God in the wilderness for a while now, and they have built the tabernacle. They've overcome, at least since the last Parsha, this is the most united time that Israel has ever had together. But the Lord says there are some things that we've got to understand about the human experience. The human experience does not happen with the next new thing, the next greatest thing that you can put on a magazine cover, and my goodness, people will pay 20 cents to get this magazine cover. The Lord says when it's time to go on, and when he begins a parsha in Hebrew like this, it means he's going to another step of what the Lord has in our lives. And the first thing he talks about is the Shabbat. He's not talking about the next new greatest latest thing in our lives. He was back then. But the one thing that was new in Israel is now still the best thing we can do. It restores our hearts. Mazel tov on being here tonight. The Shabbat restores our hearts. The Shabbat preserves our hearts, but also the Shabbat prepares our hearts. And what he says is that the best way that the Lord is going to do something amazing for us all is he told Moses, I want you to get everybody together. God is saying that the greatest spiritual experiences that each and any of us can have are not when we are alone, as wonderful as those are. But he teaches us that the most important thing is for us all to come together. And that's why Vayechel is so important here. He shows us the way to start a new step if it seems like we've been losing our way along the way. Verse 1, then Moses assembled all the congregation of Bnei Yisrael, and he said to them, these are the words which Adonai commanded you to do. Work is to be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a holy day for you, a Shabbat of complete rest, a Shabbat Shabbaton, the Shabbat of Shabbat. He's going to say something here in just a moment that's going to amaze us. Whoever does any work will die. Well, that's the way to start a week. Honestly, it's the way most of us feel at the end of the week. Work is going to kill us. But no, he's saying here that the person, he's not talking about this instantaneous bolt from heaven. He's saying that whoever lives an ongoing life of not being able to find rest and a place of connection and a place to rest together, that person is going to eventually waste away. And what the Lord wants to teach us tonight, and this is so exciting here tonight with the new members, because of what Shabbat this is. He wants us to know that when we come together, when we experience the Shabbat rest that only God can give, and he only does it in the greatest way when we are together, it has three benefits, three Shabbat benefits. He begins to speak to us in verse 4. The first benefit of coming together for Shabbat is that God somehow gives us a willing heart when we didn't have that when we came in. Moses also said to all the congregation of Bnei Yisrael, this is the word which Adonai commanded, saying, take from among you an offering for Adonai. Whoever has a willing heart, let him bring Adonai's offering. And he's speaking here of the tabernacle. The Shabbat, he begins with Shabbat, and he says one of the benefits of Shabbat is that somehow God transforms our heart. He gives a second Shabbat benefit of a wise heart in verse 10. Let every wise-hearted man among you come and make everything that Adonai has commanded. He has a way of restoring this idea that God has gifted us in some way. He'll go on later to talk about people that he has gifted. And wisdom is knowing what God has given us that we can then grow by. In our experience, God has a way of bringing us back in here tonight. He said, and saying, you're not as dumb as you thought you were, or you're not as dumb as somebody has been telling you you are if you're not listening. God is saying, I have something for you that's going to increase your willingness again. I have something for you that's going to bring forth the wisdom that I have given you, because I've given every one of you wisdom. I've given every one of you a skill. I've given every one of you some way to contribute to the world, to make the world a better place. And when we all get together, things happen. He goes on in the next chapter, in chapter 36, verses 4 through 8. He actually has to tell the people they were so moved by the experience of Shabbat that gave them willing hearts and wise hearts that he literally had to send out a message, tell them to stop bringing things because it's more than enough. The Lord was doing something in their hearts. He's doing something in your heart. New members. I can almost say this now, old members, Bob. God is doing something in your lives, and this Shabbat is such an important part of it. God is taking you somewhere, from one Shabbat to another, from one new moon to another, from one season to another, from one festival to another, from one year to another. Because what happens now is we go to chapter 40, verse 17. It has now been exactly 1 year since the first Passover. The Passover was the foundation. The Red Sea was the resurrection. The Passover teaches us where we can put our faith and what God has for us. But it wasn't going to be just one Passover. Every year there is to be a Passover, it says in verse 17. Now it happened that during the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was raised up. It was lifted up from where it was. There's something about the first month, the first day of the month, that first Passover and that first Red Sea. But God says, I've got more for you than this, the first year and the first month and the first day, because on the second year, I'm going to raise something up for you that's going to guide you in every direction that you're going. Raise up. Everybody say raised up. Do you need to be raised up tonight? Have you lost your motivation? Have you lost a sense of meaning? Have you lost a sense of mastery in areas that you thought were going to be somewhere farther along the way? God's calling us to trust Him again. The third benefit of a Shabbat is now when the Holy Spirit comes and He begins to lead us and guide us, we have these stirrings in our life. There's something that's happening on the inside of us, and we know it's, I need to stop and pay attention because I believe that God is doing something inside me that I know I just didn't do for myself. The Ruach begins to fill us, and He gives us a whenever heart, a whenever heart. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Adonai filled the tabernacle. And Moses was unable to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud resided there, and the glory of Adonai filled the tabernacle. Now, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, Bnei Israel went onward. Say onward. Good. Throughout all their journeys. Whenever the cloud was there, whenever the Holy Spirit began to move within each of us and within us as a mishpachah, as a family, as is happening here tonight, He says that I want to take you onward, and I'm going to take you and lead you through all your journeys. And that means wherever we are right now. There's a good thing for them to know because they were about to make 40 moves in 40 years. 40 different places they had to pull up the tent stakes and go to someplace new. The Lord had to do something. The Shabbat rest that God gave them the ha to keep stepping forward. He's calling you tonight to believe that you can step forward again, but not just in one step. It's a step that's going to lead to another onward step and another upward step and another onward step and another upward step. The regular half Torah is in 1 Kings chapter 8. 400 years later, the cloth tabernacle now becomes a stone temple, and the cloud again fills the temple. But there's something about this Shabbat that really gives meaning to everything that's happening in this house tonight. Today is Shabbat HaKodesh. Shabbat HaKodesh is the Shabbat of the month. Shabbat HaKodesh, God says to us that today I'm announcing to you an experience that will lead you to get up from wherever you've been and to go through wherever you're going through. And I'm going to bring you over on the other side. And right on this, this is thousands of years old, what we're talking about tonight. On this day, God announces this event, leading us to this Passover. And this Passover is taking us to another step onward. Shabbat HaKodesh was announced in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. He says, this month will mark the beginning of months for you. It is to be the, this is Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. I'm talking really fast, like I wasn't going in Henry County this afternoon. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, this month, beloved, right now, will mark the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Nisan, the month of Passover, is a new month of faith. Yes, we rush Hashanah and all that. Think of that as a civil calendar, a kingdom calendar. But the Lord is saying that Passover is in a month where I want to give you a new level of faith for yourself. Shabbat HaKodesh, God's new step in a new life. This Shabbat HaKodesh, God wants to put a verse, a word, an experience, a thought, a song, a chant, a hope, a decision, a step forward. God is planting something in you this year that can only happen because of what you experienced last year at this time. And what's going to happen next year can only happen because you say to the Lord on this Shabbat HaKodesh. He doesn't even wait until the day to announce it. He announces it on the Shabbat before the new month begins, just to get us ready, because God has something new for us. We never know how it's going to happen. Shabbat HaKodesh. It just so happens that Shabbat HaKodesh was Gilly's and my first Shabbat at Congregation Beth Judah in Ormond Beach, Florida, 13 years ago this night. For all of the years before that, we had sat on that side of the sanctuary, exactly about midway up, right next to two windows. One is Beth House. The one beside it is the Lion of Judah, Beth Judah. God has ways of leading us and guiding us and calling us, because God wants to do something absolutely new that we do not expect and the world just doesn't understand. There's something else in this Life magazine that's not announced on the front cover. There's something that happened 2 weeks before. It carries the article that Israel is born as a nation in travail and hope. This is the Life magazine that gave this picture to the world. The Lord brought Israel home after 2,000 years of exile and 4,000 years of fighting battles with people who wanted to destroy them. This is a picture of David Ben-Gurion under Theodore Herzl. It says, in the deepening dusk on May 14, 1948, which to them was the 24th day of the month of Iyar in the year 5708 after creation, the Jews gathered in their cities and villages to celebrate the most fateful moment in their history. In the all-Jewish city of Tel Aviv, Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion ended 2,000 years of Jewish longing for a homeland with a great blow of his fist upon the speaker's table. And he said, the name of our state shall be Israel. And a new nation was born. He goes on to talk about the struggles that were going to happen around them. And the first page of this ends by saying that Israel was born indeed, but the Jews would have need of the shield of David to keep their nation alive. What we may think is the next best thing is something that could have been announced thousands of years ago. And tonight on this Shabbat, the Shabbat HaKodesh, we are reliving once again the Lord speaking to his people who have come out of perhaps hundreds of years of slavery. And he's saying to them, not only did I start you on this journey, I will complete this journey for you. The special Haftorah prophets reading for Shabbat HaKodesh is in Ezekiel chapter 45, because God is preparing to do new things. God gave Ezekiel a vision of a last day's temple. But this vision of this last day's temple was different than the cloth tabernacle, and it was different than the stone tabernacle, because something begins to happen in this temple of the last days. And what happens is that the roles of the prince and the priest begin to work together to guide us onward. In chapter 45, verse 16, it says, all the people of the land must give this contribution to the prince of Israel, the Nasi. He's not talking here about the prophet. He's not talking here about a king. He's talking about a leader. Ezekiel begins to talk about someone more than the priest. He begins to talk about the leader. This leader now enters into these experiences of the temple that had never happened before. It will be the prince's role to give the burnt offering. It will be the prince's role to present this whole thing and to prepare this whole thing. In verse 18, he says, thus says Adonai, in the first month, on the first day of the month, take a young bull without blemish and purify the sanctuary. The Kohen will take some of the blood of the sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the house. So the Lord is envisioning this experience where we remember, okay, the prince is leading here, but then there's a priest who also takes blood, and he takes that blood and puts it on the doorpost of the house. So this concept of a prince, a leader, and a priest begin to come together. Then he shifts back to the prince again. He says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you will have the Passover. It is the same exact moment of the year and month of the year and day of the year that we are experiencing and calling forth tonight. God is doing something in us tonight, but we only hear it if we remember we did this before. We can only hear it if he's going to do this again. He's going to say, but this Shabbat, I want to give you a faith that's going to guide you forward. You will take a new step. The prince steps forward to lead Passover. In the Jewish Publication Society commentary on the Haftarot, an amazing volume, the commentator indeed says that this prince would be the son of David who would become the Messiah. God knows how to bring things together. God knows how to start new things. This Shabbat HaKodesh calls us to this Passover feast, to hear this promise, to hear this year's onward step. Are we listening now? Are we now engaging in Passover? Because it's through this Passover that God wants to begin a new experience of faith for you. We've got to start somewhere. Well, there were a lot of pages in this article. I'm going to talk about a little bit more of it tomorrow morning. But at the top of this page is a picture of Jerusalem at the time that the nation started. And those of you who have been to Jerusalem know how many buildings are out there. Miss Dottie Solomon used to stay in the King Solomon Hotel, I believe, quite a bit. There was none of that is here. It's just dirty, dusty bunch of buildings and something with a wall around it. But the Lord is saying, I brought my people home. And if I can bring my people home after 2,000 years of what they've been through, I can certainly keep you for two more days. I can certainly keep you and guide you. I can do anything. The prophet Jeremiah, the absolute question that he asked God, Jeremiah asked God, can you do anything? And God announced to him, I can do anything. It's time for an onward step. It's for us, it's for the congregation, it's for the whole nation of Israel, and it's also for the world. How does Yeshua fit in? The Torah and the prophets and the writings always lead us to the Messiah. How does Yeshua as our Messiah fit in with this? Yeshua upholds the Torah of these onward steps. Yeshua leads us onward. He fulfills his Torah to the place where he will also speak to the world in ways that the world doesn't understand. At this point in time, Yeshua's follower, Shaul, Saul, Paul, is in Athens. He makes this greatest step to bring a message to the world that the world doesn't understand. You see, Athens was a city of philosophers. I like what it said at one point in verse 21, I think it was. It said that all the Athenians and foreigners visiting there used to pass their time doing nothing but telling or hearing something new. You know, it's wonderful to hear something new. It's wonderful to say something new. But God is calling us to do something new. He's calling us to find a place to entrust our hearts, find a place to fully devote our hearts, find a place to fully devote our willing hearts, find a place to fully devote the wisdom and the skill that God has given us among a group of people who come together on a Shabbat to do something that we've never seen before. 13 years ago, I always love this. Rabbi Robert was up here with Rabbi Kevin, and he said, you know, Bruce and Glenda, her nickname's Gilly, Bruce and Glenda are going to Florida. He says, somebody's got to do it. That's one of my favorite lines from him that day. Maybe that could be in a list of messages somewhere, Rabbi. And the Lord begins to speak to them. He says, there's something more. A willing heart is good. A wise heart is good. A whenever heart is good. But what's really going to make the difference on this Passover is a worshiping heart. God is calling us to go to another level in our worship, to go to another level in the Word, to go to another level in our singing, to go to another level in seeking God. Verse 22 says, so Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus. There's so many different ways to pronounce that. And he said, men of Athens, I see that in all ways you're very religious. For while I was passing through and observing the objects, the physical objects of your worship, I even found one with an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship without knowing, I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hands as if he needed anything, since he himself gives to everyone life and breath and all things. What's he saying there? I thought Jerusalem, I thought the temple was the place where he dwells. He dwells, he visits. He's not enshrined there. What made Israel different than all the other kingdoms of Assyria and Babylon? And we'll see this. If you watch The Prince of Egypt, you'll see it this year, that the Pharaoh had these inscriptions of history on the walls of their temples and where they were. And all the kings had this. And the greatest power that the king had was when he could show the people the drawing or the relief that shows the moment when the king saw the God of Israel saw the God of their nation face to face. So in every foreign country, there was a stone statue of their God, and the king would meet them face to face. And when God told Moses to prepare the place where the presence of their God would be, he took them behind a curtain. He gave them an ark. He gave them over angels over that ark, but at the place where God was supposed to be was nothing that we could see. And the greatest thing that's going on in your life and my life tonight is not something we yet see. We do not worship what we see. We do not worship what we have. We do not worship what we build, but we put our whole hearts into what we do and what we have and what we build together, because it's what we build together that God, in his own time and in his own way, without human strategy, is going to come by a cloud of the presence of his Spirit, and he's going to do what humanity cannot do. Since we are his offspring, we ought not to suppose that the deity is like silver or gold or stone, an engraved image of human art and imagination. Although God overlooked the periods of ignorance, now he commands everyone everywhere to return to repent. For he has set a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man that he has appointed. not a stone statue, not a Greek god, through a man that he has appointed. He still uses people. But this man has brought forth evidence of this to all men. God has brought forth the ultimate evidence that this is the man that we are to follow, to know a God we cannot see, because God raised him from the dead. In the second year, he raised up a tabernacle. And on the third day, he raised up a dead corpse. And he gave him a power. The resurrection transforms everything. God is calling us to live by a spirit of resurrection. He's called us to live by a spirit of new hope and new faith and new motivation, new meaning in our lives, new mastery. God has something for you this year that when you lean into this Passover and say, God, save me from where I've been, but do more than save me from where I've been. Take me through the Red Sea of resurrection to do what I know I cannot do myself. Your onward step sprouts up from a Shabbat experience where God gives us a willing heart, a wise heart, a whenever heart, but the most important thing that he gives us right now is a worshiping heart. So how do we find rest today on this? Do you need a resurrection? Do you need a spiritual resurrection today? Do you need a career resurrection on this Passover? Passover is a new faith that says, no matter where I've been and no matter what I've done, God is giving me a covering of his love and his presence. And if I will stand up and if I will walk in the covering of his presence, God is going to open the Dead Sea and bring life to it one day. But for right now, he's going to open your Red Sea and he's going to bring you through. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Erev Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.